can we sing that, Brother, when his wounded hand touched mine? Praise God, I give everyone a very warm welcome in their service tonight. Those tuned in this evening, may the Lord bless you, may the Lord touch you, and we want to just worship the Lord. And I was contacted this evening with some brethren from Zimbabwe. It's been a long, long time, and I really appreciate the Lord. And heard the sad news as well today that Brother Dixon Kondozies went on to be with the Lord. And I really love Brother Dixon and the Lord. And you know, he came here and God used him in this country. And Bobby was just remembering me, prayed for my grandfather one time. My granddad called him Dixie. He called him Dixie. And you know, the Lord used that man. He saw four different people raised from the dead. There was a man in Dublin, and he had a condition where they thought he had been to doctors, specialists in Belgium and everywhere, and he had a wound that wouldn't heal, a hole in his foot, and Dixon prayed for him. And the next morning, we looked out the window, and there was a fella dancing all over the car park, and it was that fella. God completely healed him. Also, Brother Bishop was given up to die on machines, and they told every one of the brothers, when they're switched off, he will be gone. He even himself said he went over on the other side and got the garment and everything. But Brother Dixon in Bonbridge said he'd be coming around right now. And Brother George ran out and rang the hospital, and they said he's just come out of a coma and he's living today and well. So we have fond memories of our Brother Dixon, and I traveled there many times. I will never forget it, because my Naomi was just a little baby, and I always called her Tink. She was Daddy's suck, you know, she was just a little thing, she's still small. And I remember coming home, I used to go on my holidays over to preach there, and I don't regret one minute of it, I'd do it all again. And I will ride the trail again, as I say, I'm going to go again. COVID's not going to stop me, I'm going anyhow. Amen! And I'm believing it. God bless you brothers over there in Mashingo and Zimbabwe, and also Pakistani. And I want to thank each one for the prayers. Young James is a lot better, and we just believe in the Lord. Praise God. Wasn't a brother a breath of fresh air this morning? You don't know how much I enjoyed that. And to have another pastor in the meeting, that feels good too. And I mean that. A man with the experience of a lifetime. We just want to thank the Lord. And our brother wants to be part of the meetings, and we certainly welcome him. And we want to go forward with God. Let's sing this. It's one of my favorite choruses. And I want to preach tonight how faith works when God says no. When God says no, how faith works. I might have mentioned it before, but I'm going to share tonight. It's just a little short message this evening. Never give in. Praise God. Never give in. Let's sing it, brother. Praise God. When his wounded hand touched mine.
His wounded hand.
just bow our heads this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can worship you and praise you, and you inhabited the praises of your people. Lord, we've come tonight in the name that is far above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. We come against every work of the devil, every demonic power and force over this building and about it and over every life and home, and we curse it and bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord, that you destroy the works of the enemy, that your anointing will break every yoke this evening over every home and over every life in the mighty name of Jesus. We're asking for a pulling down of the strongholds of the enemy this evening in the name of Jesus Christ. We rebuke asthma. We rebuke epilepsy. Lord, we rebuke every infirmity that's upon people at this time in the name of Jesus Christ. And we're asking for a move of the Holy Ghost, for an outpouring of your Spirit to come amongst your people and upon your people. Bless every brother, every sister, those here, those tuned in. May they know the power of the Lord tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Grant liberty. Grant an unction. Grant a quickening, Lord, this evening upon your people in the name of the Lord. Lift us higher. Empty us. Oh God, then fill us. Cause the rain to come down, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Lord, this evening we're looking to you. Man would feel, but you cannot feel. Lord, we're asking this evening that the Holy Spirit will touch lives in Jesus' name. Father, I think this evening of the Kendoji family. Lord, you know my heart this evening. I pray for every one of them that you'll strengthen them, comfort them, encourage them at this time at the going of your servant. Lord, we know absent from the body, but present with the Lord. Lord, this life is very brief, like the falling of a leaf. But while the voice of Jesus calls us, we must be in time. Help us to be in time. Help those tuned in to be in time. And Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost now to help me. And I thank you that you do, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless each one this evening. I want to turn to Matthew 15. And I will try my best to go slow as I can. You know, there was a lesson this morning in our meeting with a brother Laurie, just in the way he spoke, you know. Because he was deliberate and slow in what he said, and you could understand everything. Just a pity, I know the machine didn't work, but I think, did everyone hear my brother all right this morning? The thing went in and out a bit, but it was a real blessing what our brother shared with us. Chapter 15 of Matthew, verse 21 to 28. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered her and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Now we know the children's bread is healing. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, Woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from the very hour. You may be seated, praise God. I'm sure every one of us could ourselves place ourselves in these scriptures many times, struggling with faith, trying to believe and not to be overcome by doubt and unbelief. Not to be shipwrecked by obstacles and hindrances, being reckless, hurled across our paths. All of us have faced it, tragedies and trials. Here was one this woman was facing. I believe real faith is something really unshakable. You know, when you're at your lowest of your low, real faith anchors in. And real faith holds on. When everything else seems to crumble, when everything else seems to fall, real faith holds on. It never gives in. No, you know, it's invincible, really. Real faith is invincible. When you have real faith in a real God, it's invincible. There's nothing can really overcome real faith in a real God. And this woman, she had faith. And you know, when you look into the face of God Himself, the Almighty, as it were, like this woman came, coming from Canaan, she says to, you know, your faith, is it still alive? Her faith was alive. Even when she was told no, her faith was still alive. And she was told no. That's what she was told. But her faith was still alive. Now I'm going to show you something tonight. There's only two other people in all of the Bible where Jesus says the things about this woman. He said, her, she's one. And there's another man's another one. There's only one woman in all of the Bible that he says it about. Like this woman from Canaan did, and he says no to you. But when God says no to you, and God seems to say no to me, is your faith still alive? Do you lie down under it when you think God hasn't spoke to you? When you think you prayed and there's no answer, do you give up? Or is your faith still alive? This woman's faith was still alive even when it was no. And God wants our faith to be still alive, but still surges through your being. Faith goes through you. Faith is something more than a feeling. It's within you. The faith of Almighty God, causing you to rouse yourself. And when you rouse yourself and take hold of the Word of God and really start believing and really start coming into agreement with the Word of God, that's what it's all about. We need to come into agreement with the Word of God. And many times, may I say this, when we come into agreement with the Word of God, we will have to deny ourselves. We will have to go against things other people say. Because other people might say, it's not God's will to heal you. But if the Word of God says it is God's will to heal you, you must deny what that man or woman says, and you must, by faith, come into agreement with the Word of God and believe it. And your faith must take a hold of the Word of God. We can take this example here tonight from Scripture. When it looks like when God had said no, we must arise in faith. Like this little woman from Canaan did. He answered her, it says, not a word. She came to him, and he answered her, not a word. Let's really picture this very dramatic scene in chapter 15, verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan of Galilee came out of the coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thy son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. She was in a condition. She was desperate. This woman is absolutely sincere. She's in anguish of spirit. Can you hear her crying out, God? And sorrow filling up in her soul and in her voice. Maybe weeping before the Lord, sincere before God, falling before Him and crying out, Lord, have mercy on me. But you ever felt, have you ever felt like God had stopped talking to you? I have. Maybe I'm the only one in here, but I have. I went through times where I felt God didn't speak to me. And God didn't talk to me. 2 days ago I got before God and I said, Lord, I need you to talk to me. And I believe the Lord spoke to me here this morning. And this evening I showed two brothers in this service a message I received from Zimbabwe of a man that was in the meetings many years ago. When I preached had a convention in Mishingo, and the Lord really moved. And the brother said the work has spilled over into many other countries. He sent me it on the phone just today. God knew I needed encouragement, and I thank the Lord for it. God never makes a mistake. And many times we can think nothing's taking place, but you know, a word that you sown 20 years ago could still be working, because it's not your word, it's God's word. And God watches over His word, and God will perform His word, and God will bring His word to fruition, to pass. In your life, God will bring His word to pass. Though it tarry, wait for it, for it shall come to pass. Or did you only know to say, is it no? Sometimes it feels like that, doesn't it? If you have, then you may really feel the reality of this scripture here this evening, and you'll be able yourself, in a powerful sense of the way, to face the needs and burdens of everyday existence. And every day we have needs, and every day we have burdens. You know why I'm preaching this tonight? And I hope Brother Gary doesn't mind me saying this, but a brother said something to me the other day, and it really touched me and blessed me. And sometimes, you know, maybe I think we need the gospel every Sunday night, the salvation message, but there's people with needs in our midst. And we need a word from God that'll reach into people's lives now and touch them. And that's why I'm preaching this tonight. I felt led to bring this message this evening. And this is maybe not so much for the unsaved, but I'm not apologizing for it. I'm going to preach what I feel led to preach, because I want to help somebody. Not, I can't, but I'm trusting the Lord will. That God will speak into situations. We can go down a road of tradition that we have to have a certain type of a service and miss the need at the time. May the Lord help us to be sensitive to the need of the people and to the moving of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, but He answered her not a word. That doesn't sound like Jesus, does it? That doesn't sound like the healing, delivering Christ, does it? But that's, the Bible says it. Look at verse 23. But He answered her not a word, and the disciples came and besought Him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Now it's the disciples who are saying no to the woman's desperate cry. Oh, ignore them. They don't need it. Let them go there. That's what they were saying. And just listen to what the Lord tells her when she does speak in verse 24. But He answered her and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Listen, she has not moved the master yet. She hasn't moved him yet. She's approached him. She spoke to him. But she hasn't moved him yet. But she's going to him. She's going to move him. But you must realize at this point, she is coming to Jesus with her need only. Hear this evening. She's coming to Jesus with her need only. There's something more than that. There's a way in coming to Jesus that you just don't come with your need only. But God wants you to come in faith. Not just your need only, but in faith. And she, at this point, she's came with her need only. But she needs to come with her faith. I want to read this wonderful statement that a great man of God said. One of the biggest reasons why God may say no to us when we pray is because we come to Him with our need only, you see. The need is very dear to God's heart, but healing comes through faith in God Almighty. It is faith in God Almighty. It is coming into agreement with the Word of God. Not just coming with your need, but coming in faith that there's something within you that's convinced God's going to do it. You know, my sister's here this evening, and she knows this is absolutely the truth. When her boy Matthew was pulled up the road behind a car, and his head bounced like a football on the road, and I was called, and they got him to the right house, and a man came and gave him out the mouth. He was trained, and he was a fireman. And they got him to the hospital, and I got the call to come from work. And I started to pray. When I got to the hospital, the Holy Spirit was on me. And people were crying, and when I saw Matthew and the size of his head, humanly, there's nothing. How could you work with it? And the nurses are all around him doing their job, and the doctors. And I went in to pray for him, and no English came out. It was all another tongue, another language. I don't even know what I prayed over him, but I prayed in the Spirit over him. And something in me knew by faith he was going to be well. I came out and Ian rang me. Russell rang me on the phone. And he said, "What do you think?" And I said, "He's going to be well." And he said, "That's right. I believe it." And that young boy has a family today and he's living and well. That's many years ago now. People said his mind wouldn't be right. Many things. And he came to my house and there was a pigeon I had. And a pigeon number can be a long number, like GB. 2008 13658. That's a long number. And I said, "Matthew, do you remember such the pigeon?" And he just quoted the number. So I knew everything was well. God. Faith can touch God. Faith can move God. And this woman has came with her need, but she hasn't came in faith yet, but she's going to move the Master. And when she moves the Master, something supernatural is going to take place. And when you move the Master, something supernatural will always take place. Because when Jesus is there, the presence of the Lord is always present to heal. Because Jesus brings it with him. Hallelujah. Verse 28, it says, "Come unto me, all ye labour and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Can you believe Jesus Christ would insult anyone? Let alone a mother who's brought a little child into the world, a child who is so cruelly vexed with the devil. Yes, it's true. She is outside the covenant of God's people. She's not a Jew. She's filthy. They were called dogs. That's what the Bible called them. Because they weren't Jews. But still, she's a mother. She's a human being. She's a little child who's desperate, in a desperate condition. And now Jesus is near. This is her once in a lifetime chance. Once in a lifetime chance. Have you ever looked at it as once in a lifetime chance? You would reach for it with all you had within you. We need to get desperate for God. We need to reach out in faith. It's her greatest moment. What does he say to her? He said it was not right to give the children's bread till someone outside of God's covenant. That's what he's saying. But the real question is, what was it about the woman that Jesus said no to? What really was it? Or was there something that was bigger than what she was? If you and I had been there, we would have heard Jesus saying something to this woman. "There's no way I'm going to do it. You've asked healing. It's the most precious thing in the world that you've asked for. It's the thing that I've kept my people alive when all people have been trying to destroy them. And that's the Jewish people. I've kept them alive." And you remember the brass serpent that God gave them in the time of Moses. And they looked upon it. They were healed. If they were bitten, they would have died. But God gave them a provision that they could live. "And you're nothing but a bunch of dogs." And he said, "No." Now it's very important for you to realize that Jesus wasn't talking about this woman as a person, but her lifestyle. Her lifestyle. You see, the Gentiles of that day were often referred to as dogs because of the wild, violent nature of the dealings they had with each other. As the children of Israel struggled to receive God's law and bring forth the Messiah, the Gentile world chose to stand against God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, who believed in him. But here is this woman, a Gentile, with a devastating need, and she's standing before the Savior and he's near, and she's getting nowhere. In fact, she's getting insulted. but she doesn't give up. That's the truth. Let me say, don't believe it's an accident that God included this woman's story in the Bible. I believe all scriptures written for inspiration of the Holy Spirit for our edification. He wants us to know how to deal with our faith and not our lifestyle. Gonna say it again. He wants us to know how to deal with our faith and not our lifestyle until we come into a position to receive His healing touch. Our lifestyle sometimes needs changed. Sometimes we need to repent of our lifestyle. Sometimes our lifestyle takes the place of God. And we need to crucify our lifestyle and put Jesus Christ first. First of all, Jesus was dealing with a woman's faith because He knew she needed the fame. Think of this weak daughter needed deliverance. Think of this condition. It didn't need to just become the need, centered on the need. But when she come to the place where we're centered on faith, faith-centered. Our experience of salvation is faith-centered. Our experience of healing must be faith-centered. Our experience of baptism of the Holy Spirit must be faith-centered. Our experience of believing Jesus is coming again must be faith-centered. Not need-centered. But even more than that, He was dealing with her lifestyle, which had been anti-God. She didn't know God. She wasn't classed as the children of God. The Jews were. She was a Gentile. She was unclean. And you know, God, Jesus dealt with people's lifestyles. Didn't He say to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and He came to him by night secretly, and He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He told Nicodemus he needed to be born again. And He's dealing with this woman that her lifestyle be changed. And then He's going to do the healing as well. He knew she could never receive a miracle on the basis of her faith without a dramatic change in her lifestyle. And you know, people out there, they need to come to faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. And then that faith can work. Because this healing power which she has so desperately desired was a children's bread and she was not a child of God. There's people who want healing, but they don't want God in their lives. And God has healed people. God has healed people that's not saved. And they still don't want God in their lives. But surely we want God in our lives tonight. The head of our life, the head of our home. Many people have signs of Jesus Christ as the head of this home. What about this home? We want the Lord the head of this home. Many don't want to come and hear the word of God preached. People say, well, I want healed, I want a touch from God, but they don't want to come and hear the word of God preached. But Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. We must hear. They don't want to come and hear those Bible examples of how Jesus Christ worked His miracles and how people responded to be supernaturally healed and set free. People Jesus come in contact with, they got deliverance. Laurie mentioned about the lepers this morning, no fingers and no toes. And you know the story, for the lepers came and the Lord healed them. But only one came back. And you know what He said to the one that came back? Be thou whole, which means complete. I believe his fingers grew again. His toes grew again. He was one that came back. Not only did God stop the leprosy on him, but He grew back his fingers. He grew back his toes. Be thou complete, whole. Jesus wants to make you complete. He wants to make you whole. But He wants you to come in faith faith and absolute surrender. They don't know that it takes more than needed or desire to be healed by the Lord. Men and women need to come into personal encounter. A personal encounter with Jesus Christ. There must be a yielding to Him. A yielding to the Lord. There's good doctors. We would do anything to see a good doctor, wouldn't we? Certainly we would. There's nothing wrong with that. But when we come to God for healing or anything else, we must be willing to let Him deal with us on His terms, not our terms. And when God starts to deal with us on His terms, you know, Brother Branham, God's prophet said, if you're not getting the breakthrough you should be getting, if you're not getting the touch you should be getting, go back in your life and turn every stone over. And make sure everything's right that should be right. That you've nothing against your brother or sister. May the Lord help every one of us. That we love each other genuinely. Not just words, but actions. Notice how this woman responded when she caught on that Jesus was dealing with her lifestyle. She simply replied, "Truth, Lord." She didn't argue with the Lord. She replied, "Truth, Lord." She came into agreement with the Master. Praise God. And into agreement with His word. She didn't argue with Jesus. She didn't get mad and go off in a huff. She was saying, "You're right, Lord. You're right." And when God says to you and me, when it seems like your prayers is coming bouncing back in our faces, how many of you ever felt like that? We've got to come into agreement with God and with the word of God. And we must line up with the word. We've got to say, "Truth, Lord, you're right. Truth, Lord, you're right." And then we've got to seek His face through the word and through prayer until He find out there's something that needs to be changed in their lives. And maybe God lets things come. Maybe God lets things happen. There's a shifting going on in this very church. And everybody's wondering what's happening. What do you ever think it could be God? It's for a purpose and for a reason. And you know, I've talked to several pastors over the world, not talking about this fellowship, but they've said it's the same in America, it's the same in Australia. People are not coming back to church since the lockdown, since the COVID. So many people have never come back to church. There's churches that are empty tonight. But Jesus is coming. And we're at the end time. And Jesus said, "Few will be saved. Few will be saved." You know, if you remember, I think it's even on, you know, that little disc, the Hallelujah disc. How many ever got that? Where the angels are singing Hallelujah. And Brother Freeborn on there. And part of that, he said in one of our services. I don't know what service it was, but it's on one of our services. Where he had a tremendous dream and a tremendous experience. And he saw the bulls attacking the people at the end time. And this one great bull was wiping, putting people down like flies. And he says right at the end there was practically nobody left. William Branham was in that dream and he stood before him. And he looked at Brother Freeborn sternly. And he said, "Is this not what I said?" In a stern way. In other words, why are you surprised that there's few? The Bible says many will fall away. Many will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And there's something going on in the world today. There's a reset happening. But Jesus is coming again. And He's coming for a people that's ready. When this woman came into agreement, things started to change. She was coming out of the devil's kingdom into God's kingdom. Suddenly, His ears were open to her cries. Suddenly, like a mighty river, her faith came charging out. And God sent the work on her to do something. And she captured the attention of the Master. My friend, it's not the attention of the pastor you need, or the elder, or the deacon, or some bishop or overseer, but you need to catch the attention of the Master like a little woman.
She touched the hem of his garment. Oh, that we could touch the attention of the Master this evening. Matthew 15, 27 to 28. And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumb which fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith." Faith centered. "Be it unto thee as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that hour. Suddenly the power of Almighty God went where the woman's child was verily tormented with a devil. But the power of God went in a moment, in an instant, while they spoke with her, something took place. Oh, hallelujah. The power of God snatched the devil out, healed the girl. Healed her. And this woman from Cana stood there in the presence of the Lord of all heaven. With him saying, "O woman, whatever you will, it's yours, you can have it." That's more or less what he said. "I will. I will because of your faith." She wasn't a minister. She wasn't maybe educated to be one. But she touched the Master. Sister, you can touch God. Brother, you can touch God. Oh, to get a touch from the Lord, so real. I'm almost finished. Here's the Master of the universe in the land of the Bible. That's what this was here. Surrounded by his disciples who were Hebrews, the people of God. And he's telling a Gentile woman, "Great is your faith." I'm sure these disciples who tried to chase her were shocked. "Great is your faith." Wouldn't that be great that the Lord could say that to us? You know, he's looking for faith. "Shall I find faith when it comes?" The Lord's looking for faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. "He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." I'm quoting you from Hebrews. God's looking for faith. Great is your faith. There's no record in God's word of any other woman being told this by the Lord. Great is your faith. There's only one other man that the Bible talks about this about, and that's Matthew 8, verse 10. And that is a rugged Roman centurion, a captain in Caesar's army, and he came to the Lord. Matthew 8, verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to him that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel." The Lord was going to come to his house, and he said, "You don't even need to come. Speak the word." That's faith. Speak the word. "I've not seen so great a faith in all Israel," Jesus said. "Speak the word." And at that very hour, his servant was made whole. The Bible says that while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost came on them. They never got up the prayer line or anything. The Holy Spirit came upon them where they were, because they heard. We need to be strong in faith. And I'm closing tonight. Faith. Didn't Jesus say, "I prayed for your Peter, that your faith fail not"? He failed in his lifestyle, but he never failed in faith. Did he hear that? He failed in his lifestyle. He cursed in everything. But his faith never failed. Because the Master prayed for his faith, let it fail not. I don't know what you're going through tonight. Maybe this message is for me. I hope it's for somebody listening in or in this room this evening. Hold on in faith. Press through in faith. Faith will stand the test of time. God bless you tonight. Let's stand to our feet this evening. Maybe I'm speaking to the man or a woman that's watching in tonight. Maybe you went through a terrible time. You can't understand it. Maybe you feel like Jack Cole once said, "God's lost your number." But the Bible says, "Call upon me in the time of trouble. I will deliver thee." But you need a faith to believe it. hold on to God. You know, when you study the tabernacle, do you know what the ropes are for? The ropes are necessary because the ropes hold up the poles and the poles hold the curtains. And we need to hold on to the rope of faith because it's connected to someone called Jesus. And it can't fail. Do you remember them curtains? Speak of the Lord. Let us bow our heads tonight. You that's listening in, wherever you are, brethren. I'm going to pray a prayer for you. And I want you to believe God, that God will touch you where you are, that God will minister to you where you are. If anyone in this room you need a touch for yourself or someone, respond, put your hand up before God. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. God bless you, God bless you this evening. The Lord knows every heart. The Lord knows every need. I'm nobody, but He's everybody. Father in heaven, I thank you tonight for your precious word of truth. Lord, I pray for every hand that's raised in this room and those that's watching live online. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, reach down your hand and touch them and meet their every need. Those that's struggling tonight, give them courage, give them strength. Fill them with the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray you'll bless that sister. Bless that man. Bless that boy. Bless that girl. Heal that man. Heal that woman. Heal that boy and heal that girl in the mighty name of Jesus. Bring health. Strength to the navel. Marrow to the bone. You're going to live and not die in the name of the Lord. Touch your people, Lord. In the name of Jesus. I plead the merits of the precious blood. By your own stripes we were healed. We claim it tonight in the name of Jesus. Satan, you were defeated at Calvary. Jesus conquered you. He stood in your head and he rose triumphant over you. And he holds the keys of death, hell, and the grave tonight. We're coming in his name. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Father, grant it, I pray, save the lost, heal the sick, and stir up your own people in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless your brother Gary as he comes. Bless the remainder of this service. Help us to praise you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one this evening. Don't forget our prayer and Bible study Thursday night, 7:30. Then next Sunday morning, our brother Ian's going to be bringing the word of God. Pray for brother Ian. And the Lord bless each one. God bless you all.
Sing that hymn, Standing on the Promises of God.